Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, our prayer and fasting awareness month, the month of April. And I believe that throughout the Bible we hear and we see where the Bible teaches the idea of principle of fasting. And it's always connected to prayer. Outside of prayer, fasting does no spiritual good. It might help you to lose weight or something else, but that's not what it's intended for. It's intended to be an extension to prayer. And we're going to be looking at this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 17. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read verse 14 down to verse 21. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 14. The Bible says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, Lord, what a blessing it's already been just being in your house. Thank you for this morning Sunday school. Thank you, Lord God, for what we've already experienced in this worship service. We have sensed your presence here. Thank you for the privilege of congregational singing, the blessing of special music. But now, Father, as we look into your word, I know that you have a message for us from this passage of Scripture. And I pray, God, that you would just use this to be an encouragement and help to all that are here. I pray that you would work through the preaching of thy word once again. Use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. As we look at this particular incidents that Jesus found himself in, and this scriptural truth, there was a certain man that comes to Jesus with a demon-possessed son. It says a certain man, letting us know that it's not a parable. This is something that actually took place with a man and his son. He had a demon-possessed son, and the disciples had tried and could not help. Verse 16, the Bible says that, "And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not." Not they didn't try, but they could not cure him. And then we find in verse 18 that Jesus cures this young boy. After he cures the young boy, the disciples come to him apart, get him alone. And when they're alone with him, they ask him, why? Verse 19, why could we not cast him out? And then Jesus addresses three things. And those are three things that we need to be aware of this morning. First of all, he addressed faith. The second thing he addressed was prayer. And the third thing he addressed was fasting. They asked why. Why were we powerless? Why couldn't we do something? sometimes we ask, why can't I live the Christian life and accomplish the things that God would have me to accomplish? Why can't I live a victorious life? These three things will help us. The reason you can't live a victorious Christian life has to do with faith, prayer, and fasting. Because if we had what Jesus mentions to them, faith, prayer, and fasting, we could even, in God's will, speak to a mountain. Because you have the power of God and God can move a mountain. What a blessing. Because faith, prayer, and fasting connect us with an almighty creator God who has proven that nothing is impossible with God. For He created the heavens and the earth. He created humanity. There's nothing that God cannot do. And Jesus, being God the Son, who is manifested in the flesh to help us to understand God, He addresses three issues. Faith, prayer, and fasting. First of all, in verse 20, He said, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith. So, faith in God is what we have to address first of all. A belief in who God is. If you don't believe God is who He is, then you don't believe that God is able to do all things. If you don't believe that there is a Creator God that can move mountains because He established, He put the mountains in place. If you don't believe that He is a Creator God who put the mountains in place and who created the heavens and the earth, then you don't have faith to believe that there is a God who can do all things. If I don't believe that God put the mountains there, how can I believe that there's a God that can remove the mountain? So the first thing He addresses, He says, your unbelief. You didn't have enough faith in God. You didn't have faith that God could heal this individual, this boy. He said it's faith, a belief in who God is. Now, I love Hebrews in chapter 11 because it reveals it very clearly to us. Let me just read it to you. In Hebrews in chapter 11, it's a faith chapter, and He gives us so much about faith there. But in verse 6, it says this. He says this, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. You must believe that He is. Who is He? He's the Creator. He is the God of the only true God. He's the God of all creation. He must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you know who He is and you believe in Him and you're seeking after God, He rewards that. He rewards your faith in knowing that He is who He is. He rewards belief, which is faith. And Romans in chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing. How do I get faith? How do I get this kind of... By hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. That's how we have faith. Now, there's three things here. First of all, hearing the gospel is what stirs our faith in God. Outside of you hearing about Jesus Christ, you'll never believe in Jesus Christ. Now, you might believe in some kind of a God. God has instilled within mankind to believe in Him. And sometimes they get mixed up in their understanding of who God is. Because if they've never been taught, if they've never had Jesus revealed to them, they're going to believe in a God, but it could be God in the form of an alligator. And people worship the alligator. Or it's a God in the form of, it's just the sun. The sun represents God and they worship the sun. Or the stars, that represents God and they worship the stars. But God is instilled within us, for you to be an atheist, for you not to believe in God, you have to be taught. Somebody has messed with your mind. Somebody has either proven by their actions or how they have presented themselves before you, possibly somebody that said that they were a Christian or a man of God that has totally lived opposite that until you've seen their life and you said, if that's representative of God, there is no God. Or you've been taught by somebody who does not believe in God, that believes in evolution, and you have bought into that to where you say, well, there is no God, everything's just evolved to where it is today. If that's what you believe, you don't believe there's a God that can move a mountain. And you don't believe there's a God that can allow you to live a victorious Christian life. Because He doesn't exist. So, Romans in chapter 10, look there with me real quick here. Romans in chapter 10. It's the Word of God that we're looking at here. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is what we're looking at. And Romans in chapter 10, and I want you to see verse 14. Now, verse 13, most every believer knows that verse. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What God says, somebody that believes in God, calls upon God, can receive salvation. But look at verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom, of whom they have not heard? So that individual, what's the first thing that you have to do in order to be saved? In order to stir your faith in believing in God? Here. Maybe you heard it on the knee of your mom, your mother, or your father. Maybe you heard it in a kindergarten class or first grade class, Sunday school class. Maybe you heard it from a friend, a relative. But you heard somebody tell you about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You heard somebody tell you that God is real. And that Jesus, some 2,000 years ago, came and walked on this planet Earth, was born of the Virgin Mary, was crucified for the sins of the world, was buried on the third day, resurrected. Last week was a day that we celebrate the resurrected Savior on the calendar. Hearing the gospel is what stirs our faith in God. They heard. And then once you hear it, you have to decide, do I believe that or not? You hear. And once you hear, hearing leads to either believing or rejecting that there is a God. That Jesus died for your sins. That you can be saved. That you have a need for a Savior. That's where chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says this. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt, look right here, believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you hear, and then hearing leads to believing. Okay, now I've heard it, now I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. I believe that Jesus was God who was manifested in the flesh. I do believe that Jesus died on Calvary's cross. I do believe that Jesus was buried. I do believe that He resurrected on the third day. I believe that He is alive today. Am I saved? Real close. What do I need to do from there? You need to receive Him. You need to just personally trust in Him as your personal Lord and Savior, receiving the gift. To believe that Jesus died and was buried and resurrected, that's the gospel. And to know that He holds the keys of death and hell. He is the mediator between God and man. He can present you to God as being sinless, as being washed of your sin, as being righteous. He has a gift of everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life. Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you believe. From there, I don't see, if you truly hear and you truly believe, who would not want to ask Jesus into their heart to confess their sins? and ask Jesus to come into their heart and save their soul. That's what would come next. Personally trusting and receiving Jesus as Savior. We do this by calling. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can't call unless you believe. You can't believe unless you hear. But ultimately, you have to call. You. Not your mom, not your dad, not your sister, not your brother. Not your wife, not your husband. Amen? You, personally, have to call. When a person does this, they open the door to a spiritual prayer life. Let that sink in. Before you're saved, you don't have a relationship with God. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. If you're dead to God, listen, you can't communicate with God. You might say a prayer. You might mimic a prayer. But you're not actually communicating with God, because the Bible says until you have opened the door to prayer, you're dead. But when you get saved, you have been quickened, the Bible says. Being quickened means I have been made alive. Now I have a spiritual life, and a spiritual life brings with it an open door to God through prayer. Hey, you ought to be shouting hallelujah, praise the Lord, if you're saved, because that's what it did for you. Not only did it reconcile you to God, not only did it forgive you of your sins, cleanse you of your sins, but it's done something that Jesus is going to address right after He addresses faith, and that is prayer. Without faith that leads to salvation, we cannot have power in prayer or fasting. You can't move mountains. You can't live a victorious Christian life. Ephesians in chapter 2. Ephesians in chapter 2. Everybody with me this morning? Amen? Praise the Lord. Stay with me. Even though you're not acting like it, at least mentally, spiritually, stay with me. Ephesians in chapter 2. Ephesians in chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. Now, I love Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 1 it says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." In verse 8 it says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." What great thoughts that they are right there. But I want you to move past that. I want you to look at verse 11. Without faith, at least to salvation, we cannot have power in prayer and fasting. Verse 11 it says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time, before you actually were saved and spiritually circumcised, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." Did you get that? If you're not saved, hear the gospel, believe the gospel, receive the gospel, call upon the name of the Lord. If you don't have that, you don't have God in this world. You don't have a true relationship with God in this life. You don't know Him. That's what the Bible says. In verse 13. "But now." "But now that you've received Christ. But now in Christ Jesus. Ye who sometimes were far off. Are made nigh. By the blood of Christ." A door has been opened for you to communicate with God. Faith leads to me praying. Jesus says, now, first of all, it's your unbelief. You just don't have enough faith in looking to me that I could have done that. You could have done that through me. So faith is first of all. And then he says, he addresses this kind only going to take place through prayer and fasting. So prayer is the second thing that he addresses. Matthew chapter 17, go back to our text. Verse 16. The man says, I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. They tried. How'd they try? By how they had cured others. In Jesus' name. If you will, through prayer. They'd prayed, no change. They said, Peter might have said, John, you come over. Let's unite here. Let's come together and both of us. Let's pray that this boy be healed. In Jesus' name. Nothing. Now, we've done it before. Because Jesus sent them out to do that. Through prayer. Luke 9. Look there with me. I want you to see this. He did that. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 9. In Luke 9 and verse 1, the Bible says, then Jesus, he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over devils. This boy was one that had a demon that had afflicted him physically, infirmity. Gave them power and authority over devils and to cure diseases. During this apostolic age, they had that authority through Jesus' name. These apostles had that authority in prayer. Look, if you will, chapter 10. Chapter 10 and verse 17. He sent them out, they come back. Chapter 10 and verse 17. The Bible says this. And the 70, not only the apostles, but those of the 70 that he sent out, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, we have answered a prayer. Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They had been doing it. They had been seeing miracles through faith and prayer. They had seen the lame walk. They had seen devils cast out, come out of those that had made them sick or whatever it could have been. They had success. They had power through faith and prayer. Can I tell you, prayer was designed by God as a tool by which believers can communicate with Him. When you get saved, you have an open door to God through prayer. An open door to the one who created all things. An open door to God. That's better than a hotline to the presidency. If you had a direct line to the President of the United States who controlled the military of the United States, and whenever you were in trouble, he could send the Army, the Navy, the Marines to help you. And if you found yourself under attack and you could lift that phone and pray a call and get an answer and help, who would not use it? If that meant that I can have the entire Army and Navy and Marines on my side coming to defend me, I had that hotline. Most of us would never be dead because you had already used it. Amen? No, you have an open door to God, to be used 24/7. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. In Luke in chapter 18, Luke in chapter 18, verse 1, I love this. The Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them. Now, he's going to give them a parable. We're not going to go into the parable. But he uses parables to teach them. And he spake a parable to them to this end. This was the message behind the parable. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. That means if you are fainting, you're not praying enough. It means if you pray as often as God wants you to pray, if you're in as close communication with God as we ought to be, you're not going to faint. Prayer acknowledges our belief in God and stimulates spiritual growth. If you're not growing, you're not praying. Acknowledges your belief in God, and the more you're reminded of the presence of God, the more spiritual life you'll live. Supposed to pray, ought to pray and not to faint. Prayer keeps me from fainting because it keeps me from sin. I guarantee you, the last time that you gave yourself into something, a sinful activity that you knew was wrong, and you engaged in that, you didn't pray right before you did it. You blocked out everything you could about God. You blocked out everything you could about the messages you hear, everything you've read in the Bible, because you didn't want to be convicted by it. You probably stopped coming to church because you know that every time you come to church, that preacher preaches on the Bible. And he preaches right to me. How dare him? You block it out. When I was a teenager, I looked back and there were some things that I did that I know was wrong. I guarantee you, if before I committed that act of sin, I would have called up my dad and said, "Dad, do you think I ought to do this?" If I called him up and said, "Dad, do you think I ought to lie? Dad, do you think I ought to cheat on this test? Dad, do you think I ought to go ahead and go along with these boys and go out and experiment with drugs and alcohol? Dad, do you think I ought to do that?" I guarantee you, if I would have picked up the phone and called my father and asked his will, asked for his permission, I wouldn't have done it. I blocked out my dad and the consequences if he was to find out about it. I blocked out the fact that my mom would tell me when I'd come home, "Danny, I'm praying for you." I blocked that out because I didn't want that conviction. I didn't want that on my conscience. I guarantee you, if you're walking with God and you're praying, "Lord, help me to do the right thing. Lord, give me strength to overcome this temptation. God, would you work in me? Would you just strengthen me? Maybe to move this mountain." You can move that mountain. You can resist that temptation. You can do right, even though no one else is doing right. You can say, "Take me home. I'm not going. No, get that away from me. I'll not partake of that." You can do right. Prayer keeps me from sin. Praying will bring me a peace that nothing else can bring me. When you have faith to believe in God, and you know that you have an open line to Him, open communication, when you're going through some of the darkest times of your life, prayer might be the only thing that you have. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Philippians in chapter 4. Philippians in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. What is that? Stop worrying about it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, use the tool that God's given to you. The open door to Him. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And look right here, when you're doing that, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. You can't do that if you're yielded to that sin. Can't do that. I remember laying in my bed, and there's some things that happened, and I needed God's help. And yet I knew I wasn't living for God. And I tried to pray, and I had no peace about my prayers getting through the ceiling. It's like they just hit the ceiling in my bedroom and came right back down. I had no peace because I knew I was not living as God would have me to live. I had no power in my prayer life. If you're living as God would have you to live, you have faith. You have an open door. Faith leads me to prayer. And then lastly, faith in prayer leads me to fasting. Matthew chapter 17. This is fasting. This is what it is. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could we not cast him out? We have faith and we have prayer." But Jesus says, your faith is not as strong as it could be. And he said in verse 21, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer, faith. You can't have prayer without faith. So it's faith, prayer, and fasting. He was telling them, you could have, and you can do it the next time. As long as you know that there's going to come times you're going to be dealing with certain things when faith and prayer need the addition of fasting. Certain things require the addition of fasting. And I've used this illustration for you, and you know it. It's so good, though. If you're a fisherman here this morning, you can go out with a monofilament line, and you can catch a lot of fish if you know how to fish. And if you go to where the fish are at. Sometimes we don't catch fish because there's no fish there to be caught. You fish in your bathtub, you're not going to catch anything. But you go where the fish are at, and you use the right kind of bait, and you put it on that monofilament line, you can go out there, and you can catch fish. If you understand how they feed, you understand what they're feeding on at that particular time, you can go out there, and you can catch fish. But at the same time you're catching fish, there might be a certain kind of fish out there that you've hooked him, and you get ready to pull him in, and all of a sudden, the line goes dead. It just limp. You bring it in, and something has just sliced through that monofilament line. And you put another lure on, you put it back out there, and you start, and that same kind of fish hits it, and the very same thing happens. And you say, wait a minute, now that I know that line will catch fish, and I know that's the right bait for that fish to eat. I know I can catch fish. Why can't I catch that fish? Well, it's because that fish has teeth. Sharp teeth. And that kind of fish eats right through monofilament line. And so when I realize that, I'm thinking, I'm not going to give up on fishing, and I'm not going to give up on catching that kind of fish. I go back into my tackle box, and I have an extension to that monofilament line. I have a steel leader. Now, you chew on that all you want, fish. You're not going to cut through that. And I put a steel leader on, and I throw that same bait out there with a steel leader on, and when that fish hits that bait, I got him hooked, and as I start pulling him in, he thinks, I can cut that off, I've done it before. But he can't cut it off because I'm using an extension to my monofilament line, and it's a steel leader, and he chomps on it and chomps on it, and I bring him in, I say, victory is mine. Why? Because I had an extension. I would have never caught that fish, that kind. In life, Jesus says to his disciples, you have faith. And with faith, you have prayer. But there's going to come this kind. And when this kind comes, you don't give up on it. You don't give up on God and His abilities. You use the extension that God's given to you. And when you use the extension that God's given to you, victory is mine. Well, if we can only believe and understand that. God wants you to have victory. God wants you to live a victorious Christian life. You can't do it without, first of all, faith. If you don't believe in God, how can you call upon a God that you don't believe in? How can you ask God to move mountains when you don't believe that He put the mountain there to start with? Faith. And faith opens a door to heaven through prayer. And many times that's all it takes is faith and prayer, and you'll see God work in a miraculous way. And if that works, you don't need to fast. There's going to come a time in your life, or it wouldn't be in the Bible. You need to do a little more. And yet God's equipped you. And you add to that prayer, fasting. And when you have that faith in God, and you have belief in prayer, and you add your extended, increased faith and fasting, victory is mine. And even if He doesn't answer that prayer the way you wanted it to be answered, God will give you a peace in the midst of that that passeth all understanding. And you can live the victorious Christian life. If I could ever head bowed. Every eye closed. We can live and experience victory. It's going to be three things. Jesus addresses it. Faith, prayer, and fasting. Do you have all three? You might be here this morning and you don't have the first. You've just been playing church just as a religion. Just as something that you know you ought to do. And so you show up at church on Sunday. That's really not genuine faith. That's just being a religious hypocrite. Faith in truly believing God. Truly believing that He has a purpose and a plan for our lives. Truly believing that He is who He is. And He's opened a door for you to prayer. Maybe you have faith and maybe you have prayer and you've experienced God answering prayer and what a blessing it is, but something's going on in your life. Maybe something you've never experienced before. And Satan's getting the victory. You have an extension to prayer. Maybe you just need to learn how to pray and fast. God wants you to have peace. God wants you to have victory. Faith, prayer, and fasting. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. Thank You for, Lord, just how You have taught the disciples, and we have it here for us, each and every one of us, to learn as well. You want us to know this, and I pray that we would leave here this morning with this biblical truth that would change our lives, would help us to even move mountains if that's what needs to be done. God, work in our midst now. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.